Good morning.
Bob, good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you, Dave? Are you there?
I am here. We also have Miss Emily with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Glad to be back.
We might have a surprise for you, Rob.
Okay.
How to keep you on your toes.
We're going to keep you on your toes here today, but we're going to have a surprise in a few minutes. Just walked in. He'll be here in a very short period of time. It's an old colleague of yours, Ted Durkin, is going to join us.
Oh, wow.
We're bringing all the stars today.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So, well, he's just logging on. He'll be in a second. He just drove up from Philly and, getting up here this time of day. The traffic's a little tough.
Oh, my
God. But he wanted to join us. He's been hearing so much about this stuff.
Well, isn't that nice of you?
I didn't think you would mind.
Not at all. No.
Yeah.
We like people referring our brand around. It's always good, right?
Enthusiastically and supporting, right?
Enthusiastically endorsed. Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, we'll get into some of our other stuff, but I think I was on a board and then with the nuns and they ended up, I ended up getting off the board, managing the money, and I brought one of our institutional consultants on also, and it's worked out so great. We actually had a meeting yesterday, and Chuck Sessa, he's always named for Barron's. They're the top institutional one of the top institutional consulting teams in Barron's all the time. Yeah. It's so funny because those things came out like 2 weeks ago, and unsolicited from the board, all the board members, they send out these mass emails congratulating, Chuck and Rick for all these honors and that. They're so grateful that we were with them and all these. We couldn't have asked for more enthusiastic endorsements than we got without asking from all the board, all the leadership of the nuns group and everything else like that. So it was like a love fest yesterday. We were meeting. But it really worked out well.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Well, it was also because, like I said, everybody was saying, why don't you just handle it yourself? And I said, no, I'd rather bring in, for a $50 million town. I said, just didn't want to have one local guy in Newtown doing it. I would rather have representation so that I could fend off any future stuff. And it couldn't have worked out any better. So the partnership really leveraged it. And these guys, this is what they do. They're class act. They really do it well.
And Rick, the nice thing is you keep it for 10 years and it's a $100 million account.
Exactly. Yeah.
And some of the people that sit on the board already are on boards of other organizations or, key players. And I think that's what you were looking at, Rick, some of those email responses back. It was powerful.
No, it really was. So it was always, that was a good thing. But I think there's a change problem, like I said, and we were reviewing yesterday because the leadership team, they go for 5 years at a term, and this was their last meeting yesterday, and we were looking at the last 5 years, and, they were both said they were grateful that, they have Chuck and I now, managing that, and they feel good going into the new leadership team that they're in very strong hands and everything else like that. So that was their home run because, we did the right thing. The bottom line was we did the right thing for them.
Yep, that's wonderful. And it's different. I mean, look, it's like 401k business or any specialty business. Managing institutional funds is a specialty, and hiring the best of the best is always the smart thing to do. It's to leverage your brand.
Yeah.
People want 100% of nothing. 50% of something growing that you're going to keep. But Emily, good job. That's encouraging that behavior is going to leverage your team across the board, using Rick as a good example, and help others to not be so, you know, treat it more like a law firm than a bunch of sole proprietors competing with each other.
Yeah. And
so bring me up to date on all your fun marketing ideas.
All right. So we're going to start with today I want to cover two things. Is the kind of stuff that we got going on. Maybe we'll wait for Sandy to come in and we'll talk about our buddy Hogan. You know the J&J guy?
Yeah.
And we had a call yesterday with him, and I'm going to fill you in on that. I'll wait for Ted to update that. But the tennis stuff is really it's really coming together. We have a Philly Cricket Club for June 8th, Friday. We've sent out the stuff, but I've got, you know, the responses already. We're going to have a good group there. But the biggest key is I got at least two of the Boston boys coming down, which is Sam, our client, and Clark, which was the, the connector.
Right.
And they're excited. And then Sam and Clark, Dave and I, we're all going to be going down to Sea Colony the next day for the women's professional tournament. And already have set up tennis. Well, we're going to watch the tournament. Then after late afternoon, we're going to have tennis with the Boston boys and some of my Sea Colony boys. And I'm selectively inviting, you know, because one of the guys is the general counsel of SoFi, that new, you know, the it's still private.
Yeah.
But so we're selecting people. Then we're going to go for dinner and stuff like that. So it's really coming together. It's going to be pretty wild.
That's wonderful.
So before, like I said, I wanted to, I'll tell you on some other things, I'll fill you in, but we have a special guest who just walked in the door. Mr. Ted Durkin.
How are you, man?
Ted, how are you?
I'm great. Can you hear your voice? You've been waiting too long.
I know. Well, congratulations on all your success, and you built a great team there, and the team, Rick and Dave, they speak so highly of you and Emily, so it's a pleasure to get in touch with you again. It's nice. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I would love to, after this post, you and I have a conversation on our own and see what else we can do. But, no, Rick and Dave and Emily are the best of the best. I'm fortunate. So I'm the winner in that trade.
Yeah, Rick. You know, Rick and I'm sure he told you, but we were together, and did some coaching together. And I guess he enjoyed it so much, he came back for a second round.
I'll say that's about as big a compliment as you can get. But no, Rick, your ears should burn because we talked about you a lot, and he's really thrilled. And as you know, better than probably anybody. Not everybody says they're coachable, but most actually aren't. And this team is actually T1. So it's nice. It's refreshing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually myself. I mean, Rick's energy and enthusiasm and optimism, and, you know, it's just been fun. And Dave, I think, has, you know, We wonder sometimes about teams, right? We're not quite sure what is the synergy. Why should they come together? They're friends. They get along well. One and one equals, you know, two. But, you know, how do you get one and one to equal three or four? And I think when people are different and they come together, but they're both optimistic, enthusiastic, but different, then you can get that three or four. And I think in this particular case, Dave has been amazingly beneficial for Rick. And I think Rick has become kind of the mentor, tutor, partner, friend for Dave. And Dave has been kind of the spark plug, the energy that has ignited Rick. Because Rick's always had it. He just, you know. When you're doing it for yourself, let's face it, right? Some people are better double players than they are single players. And I think that I always was. I always would rather do it for my buddies than do it for myself. And I think that's Rick. And he's a giver, you know, this is book give and take, that you gotta read. And it really helps to understand how to put teams together that are going to have big impact. And I think this team is unique in that sense. That it was how you did it, who did it, I don't know, but whoever did it saw the benefits and it's really worked out. So anyway, you're right. Not everybody is an eager learner or is willing to change and is coachable.
So let me give you, Well said, Rob. So I'm going to give you an actual example of what happened yesterday. And so we have this one client, and you met John Hogan from J&J. Well, and we talked about it with Rob, and we strategized, you know, because he seems to like, you know, but I got my stuff scattered, I get a better rate over here, and it's like he's a pain in the ass. He's not a good client.
Right.
But, we sort of, looked a different way, but we kept going forward. So, yesterday, we had this call. We actually did a month ago, he said, okay, here, if you can solve for this, I'm looking for $600,000 of after-tax income off my portfolio. Give me some ideas. And I'm tax efficient. I'm very sensitive on fees and rates and blah, 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 blah. So he said, all right, we're good. So anyway, so Dave and I worked and put together this proposal. But as you were saying, Rob, and I think this is where Dave and I fit. I'm probably a big picture guy. The details, I don't like to get into it. Dave is very detailed. He's very precise. So yesterday, we put this whole proposal together. We sent it out to him because he's in Arizona. And we had the call scheduled, which we said is amazing. We, pinned him down to do this. But we said, we're going for the whole follow-up. We said, instead of looking at what we're saying, we're going to give you a holistic view of what you have. We are going to come up with a proposal to meet your needs of $600,000 of after-tax income, low fees, all the other stuff. So literally, it was before, Dave and I were, strategizing how we had this whole proposal, and we were saying, and I was trying to think about how we were going to tee this up so that I could do some engagement. So it came to me yesterday, though. And I don't know if you're a basketball fan, Rob.
Sure, yep.
Okay, well, the 76ers are, the home team here. And they've been behind the Celtics, three games to none. So they were on swing. So the coach pulled it, he said, okay, what do I have to do? There's one guy on the team, TJ McConnell, and who's like, just like you said, he's a spark plug, he's an energizer bunny, he does everything to get the rest of the team going. They put him in the starting lineup, they won the game. And he had a fabulous game, he got everybody else going. But again, the guy's not the most talented, but he's got the right plus.
All of a sudden, I'm not liking this analogy.
No. Here's where it gets better, okay. So yesterday, we're thinking about it before we have a call at noon, and I'm sitting around, and I finally said, it came to me, and stuff comes to me, and I said, okay, we're going with this. I said, so I called Dave. I said, Dave, you ready? You want to take this over? And I said, you want points on this. So basically, what we did yesterday, I was the big picture guy, talked about what we're doing, the big picture. When it came to the details of the term allocation, our proposal, Dave ran a point with that. He nailed it, just like McConnell the other night. He nailed it. He didn't, no turnovers. And I jumped in, as necessary, different parts, but I did it from a high level. Dave was on the detail level, and I think that's where we complement each other well. And all of a sudden, Hogan, who used to, have every objection for everything, and now you get to see or hear this, he starts, he goes, I like what you guys have put together. He goes, well, tell me, how much will this cost for me to move everything to you? And, in terms of taxes, and we told him how we would, do it on a gradual basis. We'd work it in. We would do some tax laws and gradually do that. He asked about a couple. Oh, then he asked about his rate on his SBL loan because it gets so much better at people. I said, love it. I said, you next, Dad, we'll work with you to get what we can.
But then he even said, maybe I'll have to pay it off. So he was asked, all these things were like, what do I need to do to set this up and move everything to you guys? So he's in Arizona now. He's coming back to Jersey for the summer and said, let's get together. When I come back, we'll go over this in more detail. That's, Rob, that is the biggest freaking breakthrough in the world. But I said, I really think it was almost like, you know, it was a coaching decision. We changed it up because we've been knocking on his door for forever. And he, you know, even I had TED talked to him one time. And but I do think, Dave, you know, I think the skill and just the detail-oriented that Dave was in going over everything, it just was like, I mean, we were just at the end saying, holy shit!
Yeah.
You're ready to put him on the
injured
reserve list, right?
Well, yeah, we talked about that. We said, you know, this guy isn't a good client. He's not responding to our, you know, doesn't want to set up monthly calls, doesn't want to do this, doesn't want to do that. He always gets something cheaper, better somewhere else, and, you know, that's not a good client.
And, you know, Rob, it's interesting because just hearing this, and just with you talking with other folks, it's something I've mentioned to these guys, but there's another part that I've never mentioned to them, which is sort of interesting. One is, I at least have found, when the senior in experience advisor doesn't let the junior in age advisor in, it's a block. Like, you get so many senior advisors that are here, and they say they want that person on draft pick, but they don't. They really want somebody to just sort of do whatever they tell them to do and not take the ball and empty the lead. That's one aspect. But here's another thing, Rob, that you may or may not know of David and Rick. I don't even know if you know this as much, but it's there. They were sort of love at first sight. And the reason I'm saying that is it may sound like a trite term. I think it's a big deal. Yeah. And what happens inside of corporations is you almost try to, like, sport this love. Like, we'll enjoy each other over time. And I don't mind that. These guys, literally, I remember because I jumped and started here. And Rick, I mean, and he's like, no, you don't understand. Dave always seems like the best I got in the world. And I'm like, I don't even really know Dave yet. What the heck? And I think that from a coaching standpoint, is something that we should probably focus on a little bit, is if you're trying to coach yourself into something, it's probably not there. Like, that instinct came...
There was an attraction, that something that it was in, it wasn't a forced deal. I mean, it just sort of came together, and we enjoyed... I think they, like, I do engage, I mean, like, so he's not a keep in the bottle, he's the first round draft pick.
Sure is.
I do think...
I'm more helpful with a little bit of talent.
Okay, we're not paying you like that, so it's fun.
Everything's going well until Rick says the teacher's going, but he's got no talent. I'm like, uh-oh.
They changed it up to the energy, everything else to the, and that's what my analogy was yesterday. But I do think one of the things that we've done with Dave and I, Dave is involved and engaged in every one of our client discussions. So we are a team, so he is stepping up all the time. But I think yesterday I said, you know what, I'm just do the high-level stuff. Let Dave do all the detailed stuff. And he's great at that. I mean, you know, we put together this whole proposal, and what does John say about the proposal, like at the end of the day?
Well, Derek, I missed that you
comment. What did John say at the end of the day about the proposal that we put together?
Listen, you hit everything that I want, you know, in the goal section of what I'm looking for, and it's an impressive presentation, and you have to put a lot of thought into it. And then he's like, all right, so here's the deal. I'm going to be coming back to, he's out in Arizona, so I'm going to be coming back to Jersey. He has a store out in LBI. But right after Memorial Day, after I settle things down, you know, early June, let's sit down in person to kind of formulate, you know, more of an actual, you know, implementation. So it kind of led to Rick and I of saying, absolutely. And he asked for a couple other little things of, you know, I'd like to see some projections on my network and other stuff that we're going to put together for him. But ultimately, it was a really nice closing. So it's pretty much, hey, let's do this in person, make it more formal, and let's move forward with some of this. And really what Rick and I are going to do is
it's the presumptive close. I mean, we're bringing all the paperwork, and we're saying everything's coming here, and this is our plans. Here's the other things you asked for. But we're competitive. We're meeting all your needs, and it's kind of been all or nothing. We're not looking really for a piecemeal, a million here, a million there. Our proposal is for a $19 million proposal, so that's what we're expecting.
It's really, really good. Okay, that's exactly the attitude I would tell you to have. And that confidence is very infectious.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you guys do for each other. I think you help. You respect is the most important thing in a relationship. You respect each other. You build each other's confidence. You make each other better. And, how do you that whether that be a marriage or a partnership in a team, it's just critical, and it's not always there. Ted knows a lot of teams that, just exist. And they, in some cases, they don't even respect each other.
So when we wrapped it up, because John's so fee conscious, so we had an in-depth discussion again on more advanced planning stuff and everything else like that. So we have a slide, and actually I have to give Ted credit for this one. We stole it off of him at a meeting we had earlier in the year that he had for the whole our region. And this guy had a good analogy, what wealth management is. Now, Hogan looks at it as, just the investment management piece and how much we're charging and all that stuff. So this is an equation, Rob, and it has wealth management equals the investment management piece plus the advanced planning, which is all the retirement planning, tax strategies, estate planning, cash flow, insurance. But the other one, then, we talked about relationship management, which is working with his other attorneys, his estate planning people, and then obviously the legacy stuff that he's going to have to deal with transferring his assets to his heirs, charity and all that kind of stuff. So this is the one, it does explain that it's not just the fee we're charging on the assets. So we feel a little better, we can.
Why not?
And Rob, what I'd like to send you afterwards, just again, as you're coaching Rick and Dave and some other UBS teams, the final slide I think that I remember looking at was the three L's around liquidity, longevity, and legacy. And I think that really ties it really well together. And that's, really our operating model going forward as a firm is the UBS Wealth Way centered around these topics. So that would be a good piece for us to send you to make sure you're aligned with.
So we're utilizing the stuff that's there. And we want to leverage our, I consider Emily and Ted as part of our team, but also our virtual team. In fact, after this call, Rob, we have a call with one of our, her name is Jen Van Ness. I don't know if you know. But she's going to, we're working on the SAM issue with his concentrated stock after his IPO. And she's a specialist that does, on the over-the-counter desk with the derivatives and that does all the options, the monetization, all the options that he has. And Sam sent us a piece from Merrill Lynch Private Bank, who he said everyone's on them now trying to, show them what to do. And so we're going to actually have a call set up with Jen, with Sam, and then with some of the other clients, just like Hogan and everybody else like that.
Let me know
who's
your
job from there. That's what they had a good piece. We don't have one.
By the way, a little jovial thing for you, Rob. So, and trust me, little Irish guy Ted always got your back on this. After you left Merrill, success has a million authors, right? So you leave Merrill, and all of a sudden they were like, I don't know, 1,000 authors of Supernova.
I'm throwing bullshit all over the place.
Something like that. I was around that. You were a big player in the draft.
Oh, my God.
Success has many authors, failure has none, right?
Exactly. It's classic.
But that's the other thing, though, is now pulling together the other pieces. This was Ted and Emily are a great help for us to bring in these other partners in, when we have to deal with, especially, again, between Sam Hogan, another tennis guy who's
the general counsel of SoFi, and they're going to go public in the next year or so. So that's going to be another, you know, concentrated position that we can say, yes, we work with these guys like you.
Right.
And we have the team now, the specialists. We're not trying to do it ourselves. You know, we can go over the high-level stuff, but we want, you know, so Jen does this on a daily basis.
Well, you know, anyway, I think you guys, this has been a great case, and you've done a wonderful job, and, you know, I think the pharmacology medicine is a classic case of relationship building, turning into a business opportunity, turning into multi-business opportunities that can really put you in a position of being a specialist in a particular niche in the market and other people turning to you.
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, everybody jumps on these companies once they go public and has all the great ideas.
Right.
And that's why, you know, ahead of time you want it. So, you know, one of the things you learn from this is, you know, to immunize your clients against these post offering solicitation by literally telling them exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
Marty Cohen taught us that immunization technique, and it was basically tell them, you know, after the offering, you're going to get a call from Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs and everybody offering you hedging techniques for your concentrated stock position. We want to go through that now and show you what can be done at a high level. Just so you know what is available, it doesn't mean we're going to do it. It just means that you should be educated. It's like long-term care. You want to educate people on it. It doesn't mean they're going to do it. And that's part of your 1242 in training these clients ahead of time. So you get an opportunity to run an educational 1242 for even a prospect in one of these situations. You say, look, you know, I know it's too early for you, you're busy, but why don't we set up just an educational call once a month, and we'll tell you about the future, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what's going to happen to you, and it is customized for you. It's an individual call. So that's a prospecting call, but it's really a training educational call. And some of the guys in homology might have bid on that. You know, they might have said, you know, that'd be a great idea because I'm getting all these people calling me and I really don't know anything about this stuff. So that could be a part of your offering to Sam and to others in the future. Right? This is what we do for our concentrated, you know, the top people. Give it to the top people. We'll do a monthly call, and we'll have an agenda. We'll have exactly, you know, you can even create a calendar for them of what the calls would be about so they could be prepared. Send them stuff in advance about, just like you do on your regular calls, but this would be a high-level call for this particular unique situation. And you could work with your team there, you know, your concentrated options people, your concentrated stock people, and even have calls with them if you want. But I think you can handle that high level stuff.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You just have to know what you're talking about.
Right.
So
that's a good thing. You know, with speaking of homology, and I think I did tell you. So Ted's here now, but it's Ted, the member at Philly Cricket. So he's been the one that is behind this idea of doing an event. Now, he's going to be doing golf events there, but, you know, this is we just are going to run this one as a tennis event. It's tennis only, and, you know, maybe we can get Tennis Emily on the court. I don't know, but we're going to have the people there, which is going to be nice. And as it turns out, there was another guy that I played tennis with a couple years ago that I knew. He was with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, CHOP, there was another gene therapy company called Spark Therapeutics. It was spun off of CHOP. So So I know Sam and his group have been working, they collaborate with Spark. They all know each other.
Really?
So there was a guy in USGA, Rob, I played with him a couple of years ago, and I just knew he was a, you know, something that, you know, he was a doc at CHOP, I don't know what level or anything else like that. So I emailed him. I said, hey, I'm doing this tennis event at Silly Cricket. And I said, I know you work at CHOP, and I have some people from Boston coming down who are involved in gene therapy. And I said, I mentioned Spark. He said, Rick, he said, that would be great. He said, I go on to Germantown Cricket.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he said, I actually was doing research with Spark, and I know all the principals.
So you can attend?
Yeah,
Rob, I think this can go viral, because, Rick, when it comes to events, that's not necessarily an area, like, Scott is pretty he's into it. But this could be something where I would hope this becomes something that, it becomes a rhythm. We do a couple of
years. I'm going to make this an annual event anyway.
Just for that, I'm saying that there's others.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But so for Jed, so these Boston groups, though, they do an event, and which Rob knows very the ball boy. It's Longwood, right? Longwood Cricket Club?
Yeah, Longwood Cricket Club. Exactly.
It's another old-line Boston grass where he was. So tell him your story about Longwood.
Oh yeah. When I was 12, I ball boyed there for Rod Laver and, you know, all the Pancho Gonzalez and Jack Kramer and all those guys were. It was particularly that was Rod Laver's era, and he was my hero. So I had these old pictures from my Kodak camera of Rod Laver and Dennis and all these, you know, fabulous guys from Australia and all over the world. Then we ball boyed for him. And so we actually got to know him, and we were very involved in tennis. Our family was. We started the Tennis Association and had the first women's professional tournament there and hosted some of the gals in our house. And anyway, Hingham, Mass. So I'm very, you know, this has been a synergy here with Rick. And Rick and I both knew we played tennis and liked tennis, but never were able to talk tennis at this level until this started. So I felt very connected to what this event and these people are. And I suggest that this is, you know, the Boston-Philadelphia connection and doing these events back and forth. Is,
so I'm going to be September.
Yeah, this type of person, they love it, you know.
And then, Rob, like you said, we're going to work on that. Quarterback in LA. So we're
going to
be
three. As we all know, the studies show that, you know, that people think, oh, your client moves to Florida, eventually you'll lose that client to Florida, or your client moves to California, you lose them. They do. They'll leave you if you don't visit them inside of the first year. But once you go visit them at their home turf,
right,
they come back
oh
and
God.
You and that kind of stuff, the relationship becomes even that much tighter. And so, that's one thing. We can get this, like, for them to commit to come down here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge project.
It's a huge.
Huge.
And, you know, it's amazing. And, like I said, I do think we have Sam is, I mean, hey, we're lucky. He's ours. And we're talking already. So Sam is the chief operating officer. He's already getting some, you know, his next move is the CEO of a biotech. So he's already looking 5 years down the road.
Yeah. And this is a very small community. You know, we talked about headhunters in this group, and your friend, you know, your buddy Clark, and
yeah.
I mean, he's the perfect networker connector. Guy to help and introduce you all over the industry. And once you get in an industry like this, and you can talk the language of it. It's brilliant. You know, it just becomes a very high level thing. And Ted, we're talking about, you know, with technology and in San Francisco and the, you know, the connection out there. There's no reason. Remember, I don't know if you knew it, but Raj Bhatia, when I first hired Raj back in 1979, 80, he had a brother that was out in San Francisco and was in technology, and so we created a virtual office out there, and then eventually actually had an office, I think, after I left, they did, where they, you know, did business together with a lot of Silicon Valley people. So, you know, it's not, you know, that you know, when you think big, and you think, you know, this doesn't need to be, you know, because the problem with most FAs is they think their own tiny market, and that's it. And once you get into an industry like this, you go where the people are, not, you don't care where they are. You travel, and you go see them, and because each one can be, you know, $20, $25 million or more as a client, and that's how you really get to this billion-dollar number as an FA. So it's, you know, that's why I get so excited. Plus, I love this industry. You know, I love the technology. I love biotechnology. I love this homology. I love gene therapy. So it's also, along with the tennis, it's a pretty natural, exciting opportunity for me. I happen to take advantage of this knowledge and Boston of this, and thank them very much, because I think it's going to be a great company. So, you know, I don't have any sources anymore, except you guys.
Did you get that? I said that Goldman report. Did you find that useful?
Yeah, very much. Thank you very much.
That is a high level on the industry.
Yeah, but it's great. I appreciate it. Yeah. So anything you get on that, it would be greatly appreciated. I can. I kind of run my own little hedge fund over here too.
Anyway, but it's good. So where Rob has been valuable, Ted and Emily, to us is just, you know, we strategize now. Like, you know, because I went through the original, you know, a lot of it was just going through that, you know, is the process of 442, the segmenting. We've done most of that. Now we've been working with Rob on just not only refining that, but just, you know, now we strategize. We actually have different clients. I mean, and he's got to the Hogan on here, you know, with Sam, bringing in the extra, you know, other people. But thinking, you know, this whole week, we talked about this tenant event, how to make it valuable, and even how to then leverage my seed calling one.
Mm-hmm.
So by making that, where I'm going to cherry pick some people from down there, invite them not only to play tennis with Sam and Clark, but then have drinks and dinner afterwards, just with a select group.
And they're going to do it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, and like I said, sometimes I think Rob can see more, like, what to expect than I might see it on my own. And the other thing is, I think it's just an accountability. We talk about it, because a lot of times, you know, you think of these events, and, oh, yeah, it'd be great to do an event someday, and it's not, but we sort of, you know, we're accountable. So we're accountable to Rob, we're accountable to you guys, but he sort of, you know, keeps this. And now with Dave, who is, like, the energizer bunny, who said, let's get on this.
The stalker.
Yeah, the stalker. No, it's been good. And anyway, so that's where we're finding value with this. But he, you know, it's just, you know, in addition to you guys as team members, it seems like Rob is a member of the team now just to help us, you know, give us the all of his wisdom and insight, and we can cut through some stuff.
Yeah.
Like he said, he gave us some powerful words to use, and the one of them that we found, he's all done now, is scattered. You know, Hogan was scattered. And what was your term? I mean, you said those have power of powerful meaning.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't. So many people will try and make up their own words for introducing topics, and it's often better to, you know, we get excited if we're able to find one better word to describe a process, like supernova. If we can find one word that's more powerful than another word. And so finding, you know, the topic of when people say, well, I want to be diversified, I want more than one advisor, I simply said, yeah, that's the way they see it, what we want to do is turn it around and say, instead of being diversified, we want to describe it as scattered. And then you have this picture of scattered all over the street. You know, you can see papers blowing everywhere in Chicago or something. You know, just a mess. And that to me is what happens when you have multiple advisors. No one seeing the whole picture, trying to run and help you do business. There's got to be one person in charge of the risk management, and they have to know where everything is. Because, as we always said, you could have Apple in every single portfolio. You could have and have a way over concentrated position and don't even know it. I mean, that's fine as long as Apple goes up.
You know, because when you're saying that, I'll give you some others. I oftentimes will, because it is, I said to somebody recently, they said, yeah, I want to be diversified, ultra high net worth, over $100 million person of investment. And I said, so you dabble.
Dabbling, right, good.
I'm saying what you'll receive back is dabbling back. You know, I didn't think of it that way. And I said, well, let me put it to you and just give you an example. Have you ever done any work on a home or built a home? Yeah. So how many architects do you have? And they said, well, one. I'm like, well, why don't you have five? I said, do you think you, and he's like, yeah, you're right. It's similar thing. And I'll tell you the word on the other side that is a client. So I remain being a client, Rob, because I think it's important to experience it all the way through. And I would encourage it is for you to use this word as much as you can when it comes down to, the tough question is why you? You know, like ultimately, like life. I would have the word hustle in my vocabulary always. We will out hustle anybody else about it.
Yeah.
That if I know you're going to hustle for me, it's what you just described on with McConnell.
Yep.
Okay, so just, but I love that, Rob, because as these guys continue to go, a word makes a huge difference.
Right. Yeah, they do. They're really important. So when we talk about, when we describe supernova, you know, people will say, well, yeah, we're gonna give you financial planning, you know, 12-4-2, and you know, this is going to be better than anything you've gotten, versus saying, what we offer is multi-generational planning, comprehensive planning, the full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, where you'll have an agenda for each appointment. With 4 reviews, 2 of them will actually be in person, and then we put together a rapid response team where we have 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that compare to what you're getting now? And they'll always go, wow, my guy hasn't called me in 6 months, or how the heck do you do that? And we simply say, because we limit the number of clients. We can only do this level of service for less than 100 clients. And we happen to have 70. You know, or something like that. And they go, wow. And now they're like, okay, so how much more does this cost? Which is a buy signal that says, okay, I'm in. Or at least I'm listening. That, to me, is the kind of the power of the service model versus just performance. And when these guys have the ability to offer that, along with the relationship building and the skills that they have in terms of financial planning and execution and delivery and performance, it makes, it gives them that, the extra leverage, the extra ability to close cases that they wouldn't close otherwise. And you know, it's just, it's simple. It's just, but most people can't describe this service model. I mean, one of the tests that I would ask you, Ted, to go around and just ask guys, just for the heck of it, describe your service model.
It's interesting, Rob, because as Emily knows, painfully, I do that constantly, and I'm, you know, looking at, not so much trying to say the specificity is to the receiver. I use this example all the time, and I've shared it with you. If you look at Pat Gemini's Worldwide Wealth Reports, you know, there's certain things that they always want to be able to know, but you can't prove. Right? You can't prove. David Ostrom, we all know, is smart, right? But you can't prove that. You can't cut open and see how much gray matter he has inside his head, or we shouldn't be. And that's you know, so when you look at it, it says, okay, well, how do you prove that you're smart? Well, you can sort of get that. How do you prove you're trustworthy? You can't. How do you prove you have a service model? So the more specific you get, and then it also is the same thing with client acquisition. And just listening to this, if in a year or two from now this evolves into We solely work in the biotechnology space. Let me explain exactly the type of people we work on their behalf and the benefits that they have found from working with us. What issues are you facing? Because I can confidently tell you we've brought value to those situations on a regular basis. Now I'm sitting back and saying, you know my business more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, that's a niche market. And when you talk to Cupcake Sally Glass, who is the largest producer in our thing, the whole horse, and you know, obviously, Sally Rob, the horse world is hers.
Oh, yeah.
She owns the equestrian business. So if you go to Wellington, or if you go out to areas in California, and so, if you say Sally Glassman, they know her. If you go and you talk Jeff Bergman, who's with Merrill in private wealth, he's not even, I'm not being disrespectful to Jeff, he's upright guy, whatever, he's the largest producer now in Merrill, I believe.
Wow.
It's all hedge fund, private equity business in the Connecticut area.
Wow.
All fed into it, and he knows it inside and out, and he doesn't deviate now. Like, that's the business that he's there for. So, again, this may be it or may not, but it's a great
case.
And Philly, along with Boston, are big in both pharma and biotech.
Yep.
We've got a lot of it.
Yep. And as Ron said, and we can just help this fan. These guys all know each other.
Well, think about it, and Rick even mentioned, you know, we talked about that one client of Rich, John Hogan, who's a Johnson & Johnson guy. Rick came across another guy who was also a big, you know, VP, global head of some brands at Johnson & Johnson that he played tennis with, and said the two guys know each other. So there's a lot of, you know, it's a very tight-knit community, even in the big pharma space with some of the guys that, you know, have been around for a while. So, and Rick definitely has, you know, a lot of contacts in that area, and now obviously with the Boston guys, and they work, you know, and know all of the, you know, Spark Therapeutics and the Philly people well, so it is a very tight-knit community.
And David, where we can take this, even just from a, both giving back and then gaining eventually planting seeds, so take EC Pathways, take Ben Franklin's partner, take Venture for America, all those entities we're working with currently, which is all startup financing and then a little continuation afterwards, every one of them, we can get you in front of, like, Rob, as an example, and say, what are the biotechnology companies that you're focusing on, or where are they? I can either mentor them, or we can talk about how they need, you're talking about advanced planning, you're talking about advanced planning while they're seed financing, So there's an area where you can also go, and you can sort of accordion this and say, we're going top end, you know, established, and then, you know, things that are on the horizon. But we're also planting seeds over here. Guess what? They will exit. They'll either just disrupt the market and get bought out, or they'll go into the marketplace. But that's their point.
That's the goal. That's the point. And even the startup that we're, you know, that we've been working with now for a couple of years, and Sam the client, you know, that's all their goal was, let's do this and let's do this. Let's put these type of companies and become executives of some of these startups, and we can do it 3, 4, 5 times, and we're getting, you know, 5 giant payouts. You know, that's the goal of a lot of these guys. So there's a lot of attrition, a lot of people moving, and again, that's where our niche can be.
And as an example, like with Sam, just using him as an example, do you know their legal team? Who's your legal team? Who represents you? Could be worthwhile. Invite them to the end. Say, would that make sense along the line? Because guess what? That legal team will represent them again.
Yeah.
There's success here. So that's how it all starts to evolve, where now it's like the recency effect from behavioral, you know, well, this is the team, you know, and guess what? You don't know their legal team. Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody's thinking of going that direction.
Yeah.
We're all working with the principal.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I know, like, what it was doing, though, the tennis is bringing a face to this, a personal face to this, you know, so, anyway. Bob, we're probably running over your time, so,
I appreciate you kind of you're creative and thinking, you know, just like we do, and love to hear it. I appreciate you supporting these guys, and Emily is, you know, the reason, I swear, I can get another 30, 40, 50% productivity out of a team that I coach when the management is involved.
All in, Rob.
Well, you're wonderful. I'm telling you, it's just tremendous leverage for these guys to be able to turn to you. And how many times, Emily, have you said, well, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Instead of, you know, having this wall of, oh God, we need this done, but I don't know if we can approach management, or, you know, I'm not sure they have the money or whatever. You guys are just great about, okay, we can help, we can coordinate this, we can leverage this, we can, I'll find the money, I'll do this, because you're involved. It's like one team. So God bless you. These guys have got huge benefits from their firm and you guys, and it makes the world a difference, and what a blessing for the coach.
So, Bob, the other good thing, you know, we all have fun doing it, too.
Yeah?
Well, we do. We do. We have a blast. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye, Rob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.